Welcome to Season 7 of the Great Quotes for Coaches podcast. This podcast is dedicated to helping coaches, teachers, and leaders of all types become their best through the use of quotes. I'm your host, Scott Rosberg. Each week, we'll discuss inspirational, impactful, and motivational quotes to help you become your best as you work to lead your teams to become their best. So make sure you've laced them up tight, you're focused on your target, and you're ready to dive in to today's great quotes for coaches. Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to the Great Quotes for Coaches podcast. And I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving weekend and a long holiday, a long four-day weekend. Hopefully, most of you or all of you got a chance to spend that kind of time with family and friends and eat a good amount of food. That's always a huge part of that weekend for those of us who celebrate the Thanksgiving weekend here in America. It was nice. It was nice to have a couple of different days off. As you know, I'm coaching the varsity boys basketball team again here in my hometown, and so we practiced on Wednesday and on Friday and Saturday, but it was nice to have Thursday and Friday to be with family, and Thursday to be with family and hang out and eat a lot of food, and then Sunday, kind of another restorative day, a day of recuperation, rejuvenation. So, and now we're back at it. It's Monday, and we're back at it. And today we start the week after. And I always find these weeks to be really throughout all my years in as a teacher and then athletic director, where I was actually at the school on a daily basis. I always found these weeks. There was a sense of, okay, this was nice. It was nice to have those 4 days. Now it's time to gear back up. And then, bam, we in about, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? 3 weeks. We'll be off again. So, there was always another little level of anticipation. Kind of hard to get revved back up to this week, I know, or these first couple days. But as a coach, coaching during this time, it wasn't hard at all. Because you're getting ready. Many of you have started your first games, your first contest. Those of you are winter sport coaches. You know, you've started your first games, matches, whatever sport you coach. And some of us in the states, some states like ours, Montana, we will start next week. So we have another week of practice this week, and then we begin. Our first game will be next Tuesday, December 5th. So you might hear my fire crackling in the background. I'm not sure if that it'll make that loud of a crackle, but I'm back to you from the living room. And also, you probably notice the sound is a little bit more. I don't know if echoey is the word, but certainly it's a little bit more cavernous where I am, a larger room. So. But I would imagine you'll still be able to hear just fine. So hopefully that's the case. If not, sorry about that. So I just checked it and just to see if there was any sound quality issues. And so you might hear this might sound a little bit different. I'm not sure. You never know when you do these recordings how it's sounding in that very recording. If I stopped it right now and listened to what I'm saying right now, and then started again, I could be a little bit closer to the microphone, a little farther away. You just never know. So, but anyway, I have I checked it and it sounded okay. It might be a little bit different now, but hopefully it's still good. So, anyway, let's move on. And today we're gonna carry on with what I started last week. If you remember last week, I talked about how I would be the week prior. I had talked about how I was going to start talking about what core covenants are and the core covenants that I'm doing with my team, and kind of walk you through that process that I'll be doing with my team. So I was going to do that over however many weeks coming up here, and But I decided to wait since we had not picked our team yet. I decided to wait until, because I didn't start the Core Covenant process with my team other than creating them, but I have not started talking about them yet with my team. I wanted to wait until the team was set, and we didn't, because we had to go through cuts, the worst thing that we do as coaches. One of the worst things we do as coaches. And then, do that last week. I haven't started doing it with my team yet. We're actually starting that, today or tomorrow. We'll start talking about what our core covenants are and start building that. So, next week I might, although next week I think I want to wrap up with what I'm doing here, because if you remember last week, I read you a section from Arnold Schwarzenegger's new book, Be Useful, 7 Tools for Life, because this is what I was reading to my team. And so I read to you the first section that I read to my team. Today I'm going to read to you the second section that I read to them. And depending upon how long this goes, I may read you the third section, and then that'll be it from this book, because I read 3 different sections to my team from here. Now, at some point, because I'm not done with the book yet, at some point, as I keep reading this, I may end up, going back into this book and reading parts of this to the kids. And so I may do that for you, too, simply because I may have something really good from here. I've been so impressed with this book as I've been reading it. And once again, thanks to my daughter Maggie for giving me this for my birthday, because it's been such a surprise. I don't know. I've always liked Arnold, but I just didn't know how good this book would be. And so far, I'm really enjoying it. And so today I'm going to talk with you. I'm going to read some quotes to you from it, from his section. So we're in the chapter called Work Your A off, work your butt off, okay? And that's what we started with last week. This section in that chapter, and actually the section in the chapter last week, I don't even know if I told you what the name of that was, but because he has different sections, kind of heads them. Oh, I think that was just the start of it. That's what it was. Okay, so this then is a section, a little subheading called Reps, Reps, Reps. And I really liked this one for my team, because this is something that so many kids, and I imagine a lot of you are going to relate to this, so many kids want to kind of skip steps in the process to becoming the best that they can be. And they don't want to put in the reps, or they think they've already put them in, and they've got it, and they got it down, and they don't need it. And Arnold does a great job here of talking about the importance of reps. So I'm going to read this section on reps to you. And like I said, I might move on to the next section, or I might save that for next week. So here's what he said. I'll set it up with his first couple sentences in this section. He said, "From my earliest bodybuilding days, putting in the work has always meant repetitions, not just doing reps, but tracking them." And so then he talks about, as a bodybuilder, how he would, track all the reps that he'd put them up on a chalkboard in the weight room, in the gym that he'd work out in. And he'd put all of his sets and all of his reps down, and then he'd check them off and check them off. And a lot of you who have been, weightlifters who have been, strength training, you'll have your notebook, your little, journal, whatever you keep track of it. And I see guys and gals in the health clubs that I've worked in through the years, or that I've worked out in through the years, carrying those around, and they'll be writing down. And so they've written out what they're doing, and they're tracking them. Great job to them for doing that. I did not do that, and I probably should have. I tracked them in my head, and I knew, especially when I was way into this. I mean, I was into what Arnold's talking about here. I was not a quote-unquote bodybuilder per se in terms of competitions and all that, but I did a lot of his workouts, and I followed that and was way into it for many years as a younger man in my, from college days on, for about 10 years after that, 10, 15 years after that. And so I would do these things, but I didn't track them. I didn't in terms of writing them down. And I realized later on in my life that that's such an important thing to do in other aspects of my life. And I didn't, but I never carried it over to my strength training. And then as I got older, I still did my strength training. I still work out, but I'm not doing nearly as much. And so it's just different. But I bet I would have been that much better and that much more disciplined and that much more focused, and would have probably gotten even better results had I done that. And as I've read this chapter, I'm realizing it's time for me to start doing that, or doing it again, but now actually tracking it. Because I've gone through a foot surgery 2 years ago, almost now, year and a half ago, and now a second foot surgery 2 months ago, follow-up to that. And so I have not been able to do anywhere near the kind of workouts that I used to do. And it's not like I'm some massive workout bodybuilder guy or anything, but I, on a consistent basis, I like to work out. It's just been a huge part of my life all my life. Well, I just have gotten way out of the routine and the repetition that I need to be in. Well, this would help me. I know this would help me. And so it's time to have that discipline. You know, you're going to hear later on, you know, when I do our core covenants for our team, that's one of the core covenants our team came up with was discipline. Well, I need to also really kind of set a tone of that and do that. Well, there's one way I really should do that. So I think I'm going to really focus on trying to start, you know, making that one of my goals for this, not just starting next year, but starting in the next week, tracking my reps. And so I really like that Arnold did this, because this is giving me a little jump start as well. He goes on, and then he goes on to say, talk about how he did the same thing with his movie career, and then how he did the same thing when he was the governor of California, that the tracking his reps for whatever it was, you know, reading movie scripts, the meetings that he'd have to be going to as the governor, all those things, he would track his reps. You got to put them in and track them. But then here's where I love this, and this is what I want to get at for our kids. The key is they have to be good reps, not lazy, distracted, arched back, noodle arm BS reps. You have to use proper form. You have to complete the entire exercise. You have to give maximum effort. And I love that, because I want to impress upon my boys and then the girls that I coach as well, just going through the motions isn't going to do it. You have to do it the right way every time. I have too many of my players who want to skip steps. Too many of the players who want to move to this type of move that's an advanced move before they've been able to execute the basic move properly on a consistent basis. They might get it every once in a while, but they don't get it enough. Or, unfortunately, they'll skip an entire move and just go to this other thing. So it's like the guys, I'll admit I was one of these and have been one of these, who skip leg day so they can do arms and chest day or back and shoulders day, whatever, however they break it up. And they'll skip the leg day. Well, you can't skip the leg day, not as a bodybuilder, you know. And so that in and of itself is a great mantra. Don't skip leg day. Well, what is that in your world? Well, for my players, it's working on your left hand, attacking to the left. That's one that I constantly see with all ages of kids in my programs who they don't have a strong enough left hand. Why? Because they haven't worked on it. Why? Because it's tough and they don't have success. Why? Because they don't work on it. It comes back to be kind of a vicious cycle. And so I try to impress upon them, the more you'll work on that left hand, the more you'll start to have success, the more confident you'll start to be with it, the more you'll want to work on that left hand, because, oh, okay, I'm getting it down now. Now all of a sudden you've turned a weakness into a strength. And, you know, we want to maximize our strengths and improve on our weaknesses. And so this is one of the things that I thought this chapter did a great job of helping point out. He goes on a little later to say, the whole point of doing lots of reps is to give you a base that makes you stronger and more resistant to silly, unfortunate mistakes, whatever that means for you. So in whatever world you're in, you're trying to make sure you're doing everything the right way and not making mistakes. Well, the way to get to that point is do a lot of reps, build a base of doing it the right way. And then down a little further, he says, if you half-ass your reps and fail to pay attention to the details, the base you're building will be unstable and unreliable. Imagine somebody building a house. So we just had this addition that I'm sitting in right now, this beautiful addition that Jay Weimer built for us and Andy Olds, the two of them built for us. I mean, those are two very meticulous guys. I'm so glad we had them do this. Anybody in my town or near my town looking for somebody to build a home for them or build a an addition or whatever, do a remodel, I cannot recommend enough Weimer Construction. They are the best. Well, they're not guys who, quote, half-ass their reps. Very detailed, very meticulous, and we are so glad that they were. And I'm sitting in just an absolutely beautiful and well-made, well-structured addition in my home. If they weren't that way, this thing, who knows what could have happened to this thing. So imagine people building homes who don't focus on the right kinds of reps. That's going to be a problem. And as Arnold says, they'll be unstable and unreliable. You want that kind of house? Well, isn't that what you're doing with your team? Isn't that what you're doing with your business, with your whatever you lead?
We'll be back after a quick break.
Coaching Conversation 2024. This podcast is 100% dedicated to leadership and leadership within the workplace coaching area. We work with companies throughout the world teaching leaders how to coach their employees. This podcast is dedicated to teaching specific strategies, frameworks, coaching models, and now artificial intelligence strategies to help leaders drive greater teamwork, collaboration, cooperation, greater attitudes, better motivation, coaching career development, just to name a few. I hope you'll check out our podcast.
You know, you want it to be as stable and reliable as possible. Arnold then goes on to talk about the great jazz saxophonist John Coltrane. And he said, Coltrane's considered one of the greatest improvisational jazz musicians of all time. And I love how Arnold brings this together here. Because he's going to talk about Coltrane and him being such an improvisational master. And yet, how did he get to that point? Well, listen to this. He says Coltrane practiced constantly. He said another saxophonist from his time said he practiced 25 hours a day. That's pretty good. He says he would regularly play through the entire 256-page Thesaurus of Scales and Melodic Patterns, which is the musical equivalent of watching someone like Bruce Lee do wax on, wax off, and paint the fence for 18 hours. There are stories of Coltrane practicing a single note for 10 hours straight to get the tone and the volume exactly perfect. So this is a guy who's doing all of the basics. He said what he practiced in private and what he played in public seemed like they weren't even the same art form, but they were intimately connected. It was all his practice of the fundamentals that made the improvisational music he played on stage seem like magic. Practice was rigid and structured, predictable and boring. His playing was free-flowing and spontaneous and brilliant. It was like he didn't even have to think about the notes, which he didn't, because he couldn't. If his improvisational style was going to mesh with the styles of the other players on the stage, there couldn't be any delay. There were no precious seconds available to think. Like a paramedic at the scene of an accident or a firefighter in a crumbling building, Arnold had referenced those jobs earlier in the chapter. He had to know what to do, where to go, and what move to make in the moment. Oh, this was so good, because this is exactly what I try to tell my players. You want to go all free flow and improvisational and do all the fun, fluid, you know, fancy kinds of things. Oh, there's three S, fun, fluid, and fancy kinds of things. And I get it. That's really cool. But if you don't have the base, if you can't handle the, like, again, your left hand, or one of the things that my players, too many players, they dribble the ball too high. And so if you're dribbling it too high, and then you're trying to do these improvisational moves against somebody, it's not going to work. You're going to get the ball stolen. You haven't worked on the reps enough with that ball low where it needs to be, waist high or lower, depending upon where you are in the court, depending upon where the defender is, all of that. And so if you don't have those reps down, first just on your own, and then second against somebody in a one-on-one situation, and then third in two-on-two situations, and then building it, if you don't have those basic, quote-unquote, boring reps down, the improvisational free flow is not going to work out for you the way you want it to. And so it's that base that creates that ability to then have the free flow. I liken it to, if you go back to episode, I think it was 39, somewhere, that Alan Stein Jr., what a great conversation I had with him. And him talking about Kobe Bryant. I don't even know if he talked about it on our podcast episode, but I've seen Alan Stein on video talking about Kobe Bryant, getting to watch Kobe Bryant do one of his workouts at 4 a.m. And then him spending 45 minutes doing basic footwork drills. It was all footwork, all of the most basic things that Alan Stein would work on with his middle schoolers and high school kids and trying to get them to understand the importance of doing those. And there's Kobe at the absolute height of his game, the best player in the world at the time. And he's doing just basic footwork drills for the first 45 minutes of the workout. And afterward, later on in the day, when Alan Stein saw him at the camp that Alan was working at, of Kobe's, he went up to him and said, "Hey, thanks for letting me come watch." And he said, "Hey, just out of curiosity, you know, you're the greatest player in the world. Why do you spend 45 minutes doing basic footwork drills like that?" And Kobe looked at him and said, "Why do you think I'm the greatest player in the world?" And he wasn't necessarily being cocky. His point was, "I'm as good as I am because that's what I do." And then he said to him, "I never get bored with the basics." That is such an important message for all of us, but especially for those of us who coach kids, to pass on to them. Don't get bored with the basics, just like John Coltrane. You know, that boring, predictable stuff, that's what makes you as great as you can be. And then Arnold moves into our realm and says, if you're a sports fan, it's very similar to what it's like watching the best footballers, basketball players, hockey players, and ski racers practice their craft and then perform on the biggest stages. There are hours and hours of monotonous shooting drills every week. There are miles of skating and skiing and running focused on footwork, change of direction, balance, and shifting body weight. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of reps of dribbling and passing drills baked into every practice. Oh, yes, that is exactly it. And our kids too often want to skip those reps. And at the end, and down at the end of this section, he says, this is where we need to get to. This is what we have to do. We have to embrace the boring stuff. We have to nail the fundamentals. We have to do them right, and we have to do them often. This is the only way we can build that strong base and all that muscle memory so that performing when it counts isn't a question. It's the easy part. Oh my gosh, that is so good. Yeah, nail the basics. Get the fundamentals down. This is what I've been trying to tell my kids for years. And those who've gone, I get it, and have gone out and worked at it and done it, they're the ones who I have seen move on to the next level or have the best success in our sport. And I'm sure you can say the same thing about your sport. You can say the same thing about your job. You could say the same thing about pretty much anything. The people who focus on the fundamentals, they are the ones who will then be able to rise to extremely high levels of success in the areas where there is now some room for flow, improvisation, the ability to create, because they have the base necessary to then be able to, you know, kind of accentuate what they are able to do and take it to a new level. Man, I love that. That is such good stuff. And I hope you are, you know, can apply that to your teams or to your work teams or to your life in whatever way, because that is such great stuff. So thanks to Arnold for that. Again, thanks to my daughter, Maggie, for giving me that book. Next week, I'm going to probably finish the book with the next section, because he has one more cool section that I did with my kids. Otherwise, I'll start with the core covenants. We'll see. We'll see which I do. But come back to hear that next week on the Great Quotes for Coaches podcast, and I will talk to you then. Thanks for listening to today's episode. Please do me a favor and leave a rating and a review, and then subscribe to the podcast. Ratings and reviews and subscriptions are really helpful in getting more ears and more listeners getting a chance to hear podcasts. What we want to do is spread the messages of hope and inspiration from these great quotes to as many coaches, teachers, parents, and leaders of all types as possible. Also, check out our Slam Dunk Success site at slamdunksuccess.com and the Slam Dunk Success YouTube channel, where we have much more for you to help you on your road and your journey to success. I look forward to serving you again next time with another great quote for coaches.